And the reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." The angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Francis.
God our Father, we thank you that you sent your word to be born of a virgin. May that same word who came into this world and who proclaimed your living word, may he now speak to us as we meditate upon these scriptures which were written for our learning. For we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to link the talk today with last week, because in a way the two are linked, and I don't know whether you can get away with just looking at Mary or just looking at Zechariah, because the two come together. One prepares the way for the other, but there are also some contrasts that are worth considering at the very beginning. But the first question that I want to ask is, why both are spouting? Why do we all take good 20 minutes in every service to listen to one person talking, and sometimes we don't even listen to them carefully? Why do we do this? It's because all scripture is inspired. Therefore, when it comes to the reading of the scriptures, we listen to them. But we also know that God has left us not without a witness. The same Holy Spirit who filled Elizabeth, who filled Mary, who indeed filled Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit who fills us and has appointed some of us to be teachers. Therefore, I pray that as I seek to reflect on this, You will listen to the Holy Spirit that is in you, and that he may bear witness to the truth of what I am saying, in the light of the fact that I too have the Spirit of God living in me. Amen. Right then. The season of Advent must be about a double preparation. Not merely preparing for Christmas, but preparing for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. We prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ, but we also prepare for the second coming of Christ. And in the two stories that we have an invitation. Zechariah is given an invitation to join in the great plan of God. And in a way, he has been praying, hasn't he? In fact, he's prayed for so long that when the angel comes to him and says, hey, your prayers have been heard, I can imagine him saying, which prayers? Which prayers? And you can imagine him kind of, you know, thinking, well, now we've come to the end of our lives. We are just waiting for God to come and take us home. We've run the race. All we want to do is just relax. And you can imagine what that story has been saying to me, because I am just about to join the august group of people that do not have to get up in the morning. And the temptation is there to think, you have arrived, Francis. Just relax. You don't have to be answerable to anybody. Just relax. Oh, and by the way, you can plan all those things that you wanted to do and forget about everybody. Just imagine with me if the Lord actually told me, Francis, you know, you remember those prayers that you prayed a long time ago? I'd probably say, which ones? Because I've prayed all sorts of prayers in my life. I've prayed that I would be used of God until my last breath. Just imagine if the Lord, over the next few months, says, you know what? I'm opening those doors for you. Behold, you are not going to be retired. You're going to be retired. You're going to get new tires. You're going to race. I don't know how I would take that. And then we've got this beautiful girl. She's probably about the same age as Grace. With all her life in front of her. Grace, if you lived in a different culture, you know, you wouldn't be in school now. Oh, no. You would probably be working. In fact, 40 years ago, you would be working. If it had been 40 years ago, if you had been 16, 40 years ago, you'd probably be being prepared to go to work. And if you had been, you know, 60 years ago, you would definitely be going to work. Unless your parents were really well educated and they were able to say, come on, you can do better. Otherwise, you would find yourself working. And you would find yourself only thinking of one thing: when I get married. Well, of course, you know, I know you're not thinking about that for another 20 years. And your mom and dad are thinking, oh, no, not 20 years. You may not be doing that, but that would have been the case for this young girl. She would have been thinking, when I get married. And not only that, she had seen the first inklings of that, because somebody had already been to her dad and said, please, may I have your daughter in marriage? She was already engaged. And therefore she had her whole life in front of her. She was looking forward to the adventure of family life. Adventure of being married, having children, and then just relaxing. But the older couple had already done their journey. In fact, they had given up hope. They would have given up hope because in their minds, the time had come to put a limit on what they had prayed for. They had assumed that God had said no to their praying for a child. No, for a son. They would have assumed that God wasn't going to answer. And therefore, when God surprises them, well, Zechariah is so disturbed about this that actually he argues with an angel. And by the way, may I encourage you to read Luke over this Christmas period, because you will find all sorts of things. Do you know, this is the first time that you have an angel speaking and actually saying you're going to be this. Not the Lord says, but you are going to be. And note the way that the angel introduces himself to Zechariah. I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. And now because you have not believed what I say to you, you're going to be dumb. But we've got this girl full of hope, full of plans. So how does she react to all this? Now, I don't know about you, but actually I would have expected Mary to react the way that Zechariah reacted, because she was full of hope. And all she's being told is, you know that plan that you have, that incredible plan that you've got all laid up in your mind? You know the plan that, you know, your mom shared with you when you were still a little girl? You've been prepared for this. God is saying, join in my adventure. Become an unmarried mother. With all that would involve. And note what she says. She asks the same question. Literally as Zechariah did. How can this be? But she says, look at my situation. I am not married yet. And once she hears the explanation from the angel, her response is, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And I pray that over this Christmas time, we all will be doing exactly that. Let it be to me according to your word. And at this moment, I'm thinking of our brothers and sisters facing persecution. I'm thinking of my brothers and sisters who this day are going to be with the Lord because somebody else has thought that it is better for them dead than alive. And that is the truth. I pray that they too will say, let it be to me according to your word. And you may be saying, hold on, Francis, that is not fair. Are you telling me that, those people are dying according to God's will? No, but I'm saying this. God is not divorced from their situations. There are some that he has appointed for martyrdom, and they will fulfill God's plan because that is what he purposes for them. They will not see those who are coming to persecute them. They will see the Lord who is on high, and they will say, "Let it be to me according to his word." Let it be to me according to his word. But when we have said yes to God and to his plans, there are always doubts that follow. Did you know that? I hope you do. You know, there has never been a time when somebody says, "Now this is it, I believe." And it's happily ever after. No, it is not. Oh yes, the waves come and the waves go. You say yes today, and tomorrow you are faced with an even greater obstacle. I'm not surprised that Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And just listen to that story of encounter between them. Here is Mary, who is just about beginning to glow because she is pregnant. And here is Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, and she knows she is. And she is full of joy. Yeah? Barbara, would you be joyful? Oh, well, I tell you, if you are given a chance, I'm sure you would probably say, "Hold on, no, no, that's too late." Elizabeth is glad. Margaret, that's what it's all about. Ruth, that's what it's all about. Being joyful and knowing that, oh dear, I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. I haven't got the energy, but she has the energy. How come she has the energy? Because the one who promised is able to do far more than we can ever imagine or think. Never put a limit on God. Never put a limit on what God is able to do. And then Mary comes and there is that encounter. And I want us to look at that because I believe that that tells us who the Spirit is and what he does. You know, we are a Spirit-filled church. I really believe that. And this week I've been reminded of that. Because I spoke to another clergyman who actually told me, "We are not like you." You know, you're one of those happy clappy church. And I said, "Have you been?" He said, "No, but I know." And, oh, I had to bite my tongue because I was very, very tempted to say, "What has that got to do with the issues that we are discussing at present?" But I didn't dare. But we are a Spirit-filled church. And this is what that story is telling us. When the Spirit of God comes, there is a quickening in us. First thing. There is a quickening in every one of us when the Spirit comes. Secondly, when the Spirit comes, he begins to reveal things that build one another. Do you notice the old lady, Elizabeth, when she sees Mary, when she hears her greeting, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? John, who is not yet born, gives her an almighty kick. And it is not just a kick. It is almost like a leaping up with joy. Because there is something going on here that Elizabeth doesn't even realize what is going on, but as she opens her mouth, truth comes. What does she say to Elizabeth, to Mary? Wow. How come the mother of my Lord should come to visit me? Mary hasn't said anything, and yet Elizabeth knows. How does she know? How does she know? Anybody? The baby lives in the womb, and she knows because she is filled with the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit. This Christian life is not possible without the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he leads us into all truth. Therefore, Elizabeth is able to tell Mary, happy are you, because you believed what God said to you. And I wonder whether her husband has already told her what happened in the temple. I know he can't talk, but he can write. And I wonder whether that is the way they had communicated over the 9 months. He probably said, I didn't believe it, but it is true. I am dumb because I did not believe the angel's message. He would have done that. And you may be wondering, where do you get that from, Francis? It's logical. When John is born, what do they do with Zechariah? They ask him, hey, what's the name? And he writes down, his name is John. If he is able to write that, he is able to also tell his wife what exactly happened. So Elizabeth knows that this old man did not believe what the angel said. But he also sees the faith of this young girl. Let it be to me according to your word. And they rejoice. We are landing. My sisters and brothers, this morning, as we listen to what God would say to us, let us bear this in mind. Let's beware of settling for second best. Have you settled for second best? And as your pastor, I can look at you and I can read your mail. I've been with you on this journey long enough to know that there are things that have bothered you. There are things that you prayed for again and again. And you're probably tempted to say, that is it. It will always be the same. Don't you settle for second best. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, and your situation is not hid from God. And secondly, please, 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 be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ian, right? Again and again. David, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again and again and again. Colin, don't forget that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He has got great plans for you. Don't settle for second best. Nigel, don't settle for second best. No, it's all right. The ladies will come. You see, they have got more faith than you do, guys. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for him to say, what about the ladies? And then I was waiting for that indicator. Finally, encourage one another in the Lord. Don't sit on the Holy Spirit. Let him work in you and through you. Listen, speak, because the Lord wants to use you to bless one another. The Lord is here. Amen.